Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Some cheap sunglasses.
Escambia County wants to collect on more than $1 million worth of back taxes owed by the Escambia County Children's Trust. The county says the trust hasn't paid taxes in 3 years. County Administrator Wes Moreno says they discovered the unpaid taxes during a financial review. Now the county has sent a letter to the trust giving them 45 days to pay up.
So, this is a complicated story, okay? Allison Rogers, county attorney, has written a letter to the Escambia Children's Trust. That's the agency created a couple of years ago when we all voted by majority opinion to raise our taxes by 5/1000ths, or, you know, half a cent on $1,000 of value in your house. It's a millage rate is what they call it. And I know that that term is confusing. I think a lot of times these terms are designed to keep you from really understanding what's going on. It makes it obscure, you know? Because, like, if you have a home that's worth $100,000 and your millage is one, that means that you owe $100 a year. It's a dollar for every thousand. That's what a mill is, okay? So we have a six mill. It's over a little over six. But so, you know, in Escambia County, if you have a $100,000 home, nobody does, but if you did, you know, you'd owe $600 a year, $660 or something like that. Anyway, she writes a letter. Allison Rogers writes a letter to the Escambia Children's Trust saying, hey, you owe a bunch of money. About $1 million, a little over $1 million, about $300,000 a year for the last 3 years that you have not paying properly. The reason is because, and this is where it gets a little bit complicated, you got to understand some things to understand this story. Thing number one is community redevelopment areas, and if I get this 80% right, I'm going to be happy because it's a complicated subject. A community redevelopment area is a zone in a city or a county where you say, we want to invigorate that area, we want to be able to focus on that area and make it better. As a result, the property taxes paid in that area at the time the CRA is created will continue to go to the taxing authority, the county, let's say, okay? But as property values go up in that area, which they sometimes do naturally, and will also do if you redevelop in that area and make it better, you're going to be building it up, basically. Property values will go up. The increment is the difference between how much the property value was when you started the CRA and how much the property value is now. And of that increment or the increase, that goes back to the CRA, the organization that is going to try to reinvest in that area instead of going to the county. It's a scheme that's designed to focus on certain areas, make them better, allow a little bit more local control over those certain zones, try to focus on them. The trade-off is that the county then doesn't have that money available for, you know, roads and sheriff and, you know, drainage ditches and all of the different things that the county does, okay? It's sort of retained by the CRA, okay? So follow me. So there's base taxes or what they call the frozen value, and then there's the increment, which is the increase since the CRA was created. The Escambia Children's Trust comes in, and we create a new tax on property. We did a tax increase, a half a mil. Or 50 cents on every $1,000, okay? And they've been collecting money, about $10 million a year, which is a lot. And they haven't spent it all because the Escambia Children's Trust, designed to help children's issues in Escambia County, particularly with education, has not found enough good projects to spend the money on, and so they've got a lot of money sitting in the bank. And there's been other issues surrounding the entity and some dysfunction in the management. We've got new leadership there, and now we hope it's better, but okay. That's all side issues. That's not really related here. The problem is that out of the $10 million that they're supposed to get every year, the stuff that was generated on the increment in those areas where there's a CRA is not theirs to keep. Because any tax, a millage, levied on the improvement value of the properties in a CRA, which is not everywhere, just certain areas, okay? Any tax levied on the improved value or the enhanced value since the CRA was created is supposed to stay with the CRA. Meaning that every year, the Children's Trust gets its half a mil from the tax collector, and they're supposed to send that money to the CRA, and they haven't been. Is that clear? I know, this is like, Andrew, yesterday you're explaining how there's a stay on the lift of the stay of the hold of the law. And I know. But it's useful to understand this stuff because you start to understand how government works and where the money goes, which is always important. The short version is that the Escambia Children's Trust is allowed to collect its half a mil on all the value of all the property in Escambia County, minus homestead exemptions and all that, but all the value and all the property in Escambia, except for the increase in property values in CRA areas since the CRA was created. So if you have a, let's say you had a house that was valued at $500,000 and you live in a CRA, let's say, and now your house is worth, well, let's just say it doubled to try to keep the math simple, okay? It's doubled to $800,000 since the CRA was created. Basically, half of your ad valorem taxes goes to the county. The other half, it's actually 75% of the half, but don't worry about that, would go to the CRA, okay? Now comes the Escambia Children's Trust, and they put an additional, right, half a mil, okay, which means that that would be every year on a $400,000 house, that would be about $200, okay? And on an $800,000 house, that'd be $400. Well, the point is that only $200 of your taxes is supposed to go to Escambia Children's Trust, and the other $200 is supposed to stay in the CRA. And they've been getting the whole $200. I don't know if that helps you. Math on the radio is always hard. Here's the problem. The CRA hasn't paid. We don't know why. It was discovered in an internal audit by the county, and now they owe about $1 million because there's also penalties involved to the CRA. That means that some slice of the money that you thought you were paying to help children is now going to go to community redevelopment areas instead, unless the county commission today votes to give them an exemption or a waiver, which they are not obligated to do, but which they could well choose to do. The question then is going to be, this $1 million it's owed, is it going to go to help children's processes, which is currently where it would go if they were allowed to keep it, or is it going to go to help buildings and signage and, you know, storefronts and, you know, beautification, things that happen in the CRA? That's the story. Is this an example of somebody's botching and not doing their job? Well, yeah, but is it a serious problem of the sort that, like, you'd be concerned about ethics or what? No, not really. It's an accounting thing. And being a new agency, the Escambia Children's Trust, I think you can sort of understand that a few things would slip through the cracks, which is even what Wes Moreno called it.
How did that happen?
Brent, honestly, I'm not sure. Maybe too many chefs in the kitchen. A lot of things go, a lot of balls in the air. I'm not really sure how that happened. It was something that we noticed as we were doing a review, and it's kind of brought to our attention. And so we did look at it and said, yep, they've not been making those payments.
There you go. It's that simple. And as Lindsay Cannon, the new executive director for the Escambia Children's Trust, says, look, this is going to mean less services for children. Less money in the bank because they've got money in the bank. But they can pay it if they need to. So that's the issue. All right, Jake, you're my man on the street. Okay. How much clarity did you gain from that explanation?
A little bit. I think okay. I kind of understand it. It's not, there was nothing nefarious going on. It was just an accounting error due to kind of a complicated system of how taxes are split up when you're in a area that, I get it. Yeah,
that's CRA, a perfect summary. Yep. Thank you. Perfect. All right, how about you for traffic? You can do my job. I'll do your job.
Okay. Well, I got to do traffic now. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. I think the well is used up, buddy. We're looking good on our roadways. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no accidents there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is accident-free. Highway 29 south through Cantonment from the Molino cutoff is clear. And Davis Highway is good from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brent, and Fairfield. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. You can call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so I know I was explaining all of this stuff to you, but listen, the various ways your property taxes work is the kind of thing that you want a good realtor to understand. Christina Leavenworth. When you're buying a house, you want to understand this kind of stuff, and if you don't understand it from me, ask her, she'll explain it. And that's the point. She's great at understanding every dimension of things related to real estate. She is a voracious learner. She loves to learn about real estate. She loves to explain it to people. She loves to kind of learn about whole new things. I know recently she was talking about they had somebody come to them who was going through a divorce and wanted a realtor, which is a challenging thing because people in a divorce often disagree, but they got to sell the home, or they did in this case. So she went and learned how to do that particular process. Even got some certification and training on that for her folks, which is, that's just how she is. You know, she loves to learn, loves to understand. She's kind of a perfectionist in the sense of always doing it the best you possibly can for every single client. That's what makes her so great. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. You're thinking about buying or selling, give her a call, 723-9158.
It's Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event, and Feedmore Imports is offering low APR rates to help celebrate. How low? How about 0% for 60 months on all 2024 Tiguan models? Or take $2,000 in customer cash and 1.9% for 60 months on all 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport models. Or take $3,000 in customer cash. It's time to celebrate and get behind the wheel of a Volkswagen SUV or crossover today. There's plenty to go around, but with rates like these, they may not be around for long. And don't forget about the 2024 Jetta, Golf GTI, and Golf R. They're all available, too, at Feedmore Imports. Celebrate the Volkswagen 75th anniversary sales event at Feedmore Imports today. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports is at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. Must take delivery by April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
President Trump on the campaign trail ahead of November?
So I think one of the interesting things about is this state, before I came on the scene, was a one-point state. It is no longer a one-point state. And that's just the reality. This is not going to be a state that's competitive in November. And that's just the reality. So I don't anticipate there being much campaign here for the top of the ticket. I do think there's going to be some local races that are going to be very important that we'll be involved with.
Is it only me? But I'm a little sad that we're not a swing state anymore. Like, we used to be important. Now we get taken for granted because we're just going to vote red. I mean, no, I'm not really that sad. But it's kind of weird. I feel like we had a superpower, and now we've just got an ordinary power. 437-1620. Governor DeSantis yesterday being asked the question, will he campaign for Trump? And he skirts this issue by saying, well, we're not competitive here in Florida, so they're not really going to campaign here, so why would I be with him? Well, would you not go out on the road somewhere and campaign on his behalf? Right, good question. I mean, fair question.
The primary in Florida yesterday, I have two questions for you. Who did you vote for, and what do you make of the results? You came in third, but Trump dropped 14 points compared to where he was 4 years ago.
And it's hard to hear, but she says, what do you make of the results? Who did you vote for? And, you know, Trump dropped from his massive 95% last time around to only, 80% this time around. What do you make of it?
Well, but I mean, part of that, people are saying that and they're trying to ding Trump. But people don't forget, Haley was a candidate when mail ballots went out. It wasn't an uncontested primary. She was a live candidate. People sent in mail ballots who maybe didn't want Trump. It wasn't that he was uncontested. And so you have to think, our election in Florida goes like 6 weeks. So it wasn't just yesterday. And in fact, I haven't looked at the data. I would imagine a minority of the votes were cast yesterday. Most of them were cast early. So I don't think that that's a ding on Donald Trump, given that those mail ballots went out when she was still actively campaigning.
You know, that's an interesting observation. I had not thought about that. But a lot of people, if they mailed in, Nikki Haley was still an active contestant, right? And so I kind of thought that it was surprising that DeSantis only got, what, 4% or something like that of the vote. And why wouldn't he get more since, you know, given the choice between Haley and DeSantis and Trump, there's a lot of people here in Florida. I figured would vote for DeSantis. I mean, I did. You know, that's who I picked because it didn't matter. And that's who I would have preferred out of all of them. And I was surprised that he got so little. But his answer was, well, yeah, because people sent in their ballots when Nikki Haley was still a live candidate, which is, I hadn't connected that dot, so I appreciate him saying that. 626 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Not seeing any major problems on our roadways. No accidents reported by FHP. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, not seeing any issues there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90, I'm not seeing any accidents reported along that route. And we're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. Highway 29 is accident-free from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. And Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. The who I voted for, somebody had asked me that yesterday, and I don't mind telling you, you know, I'll tell you who I voted for. They're like, well, how could you vote for Trump? Because this is an anti-Trump person, which I have a lot. You know me. I have a lot of criticism. I thought, well, if me voting for DeSantis is a surprise for you, then you don't know me. Like, you haven't been listening, you know. How could that be a surprise? Come the fall, you know, obviously there's a different choice to be made. But in a primary, you know, anyway. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. Right here with your headlines. About 78,000 public service workers will qualify to have $6 billion in student loan debt canceled. A new announcement from the White House says workers, including teachers, nurses, and firefighters, will be getting the debt relief through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. A manhunt underway in Idaho after three police officers were shot during an inmate escape yesterday. The Department of Corrections officers were ambushed apparently while transporting inmate Skylar Meade out of a Boise hospital. As Meade was being put back in a van, a suspect opened fire, hit two officers, and during the chaos, another DOC officer was shot as a result of friendly fire. And the U.S. may be planning to offer a plea deal to Julian Assange that would allow the WikiLeaks founder to admit to a misdemeanor. The Wall Street Journal reporting that the Justice Department is looking at ways to speed up the extradition battle going on in London. The U.S. accusing Assange, of course, of espionage.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody texted and said, that's exactly why I voted for Haley. She was still in when I got my ballot. If she had still been active in the race when I voted, which is why I wait to vote. That's exactly why I wait to vote, because you never know how things might change. And if she'd still been active in the race, I would have voted for her. I say, Andrew, why do you tell us what you vote for? Aren't you a news guy? News and opinion, you may have noticed sometimes. But also, I don't know. I think it's weird that people who are, you know, media types don't tell you who they vote for. Like, I think you're entitled to know my biases, my conclusions, you know. I don't typically, I do some endorsements, you know, for candidates. I don't typically endorse in local races. Sometimes you can tell what my lean is by paying attention, but, you know, I don't typically do that. But I don't mind telling you, you know, after the fact who I voted for. I won't always tell you in advance. But I don't know, maybe I should tell you before. I just feel like transparency. It's kind of like the first day of class when I used to teach. I always would tell people what my views and beliefs and biases were. That way, if they thought that I was not able to teach the subject in a way that they thought was fair, they could leave the class and go get some other teacher. I feel like, you know, put out your beliefs and your, if they are biases or prejudices or leans or whatever, so that people can properly decode your information and not just, you know, take it in as if it's coming from a neutral observer, because there's no such thing. There's just no such thing as a perfectly neutral observer. And the most scary part is the people who think that they're perfectly neutral, relayers of the information. Because nobody is.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Biden administration is calling for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hamas connected to the release of hostages. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Egypt for talks. Fighting continues at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza.
Israel's military calls it precise operational activity. It says 50 of what it describes as Hamas terrorists were eliminated, taking the total kill to over 140 since Monday.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Willie James Pye is executed by lethal injection in Georgia.
He'd been convicted, along with another man, of abducting his former girlfriend, raping her, then shooting her to death in 1993. The other defendant was sentenced to 5 life prison terms. His legal team claimed Pye was intellectually disabled and therefore constitutionally ineligible for execution. The state's parole board disagreed and denied his application for clemency.
Fox's Jack Callahan is Georgia's first execution in 4 years. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got a much warmer morning than we have had the last couple of days. It's 50 degrees, clear skies in Pensacola. Looks like there's going to be lifeguards on Perdido Key this year. Public safety officials say having lifeguards on that beach as well is important to prevent tragedies before they occur.
Make sure they understand the water conditions. Make sure they understand the dangers. To go out there and talk to people, put hands on them. Before that, there was nothing out there. People just went out there. They just did what they wanted to. And, not understanding the dangers or anything, but we see at Pensacola Beach, making that public contact or making that contact is key to preventing any drownings or anything like that.
And that is Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore. He says they're also planning on building a lifeguard tower at Perdido Beach Access Number 2. And this comes after a particularly deadly season in Gulf waters last year. Impact 100 will be giving out $1.2 million in grants this year. The philanthropic women's organization announced yesterday they've got a new record now of over 1,200 members this year. And of course, each of those members donates $1,000. That goes to fund the grants they give out. Those are awarded to nonprofit organizations in 5 areas: arts, culture and history, education, and environment and recreation, family and health, and wellness. The organization holding a free workshop for groups interested in applying for grant funding. That'll be held April 18th at the Brownsville Community Center. Well, following the news that the city of Mobile was planning to build a new $300 million civic center downtown, Escambia County public leaders say now they're having some discussions about the future of the Bay Center here in Pensacola.
We've had a couple of meetings reviewing some of the options that we have available to us. There's like 3 or 4 options. We're looking at something maybe in the middle that would increase revenue, increase seating capacity.
And County Administrator Wes Moreno there, he says the middle option wouldn't be a Lamborghini plan, but wouldn't be a Yugo plan either. Moreno says it could all be funded with tourist development tax dollars in order to keep Pensacola competitive in the entertainment market. 14 people that were stuck in Haiti are now back in Florida. State officials coordinated a rescue flight that landed in Orlando last night. 8 adults, 6 kids were on board. Governor DeSantis says it'll be the first of many rescue flights to bring people home that are in harm's way. He says there's over 300 Floridians still stuck in Haiti awaiting a rescue right now. And Donald Trump may be looking at Senator Marco Rubio as a potential vice presidential running mate. Rubio is said to be on a long list of potential vice presidential candidates, but it could be a while before Trump makes his official pick. County animal welfare officers were recently called to rescue an injured bald eagle. Officers say that bird hit the window of a home on Pinewood Lane this week. Initially, residents called that in and reported the incident as an injured hawk. Responding officers showed up and took the bird to the Wildlife Sanctuary of Northwest Florida for veterinary care, and they're hoping to rehab it. The eagle believed to be a juvenile female. Right now, there's no word on that eagle's current condition, but wildlife officers do say it appeared a little bit more alert after it was taken to that sanctuary. 6:35 right now, News Radio, and Jake's got our traffic on the fives.
All right. Not seeing any problems on our roadways this morning. I-10 and I-110 are accident-free. Highway 98 east and west through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no issues there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace this morning on Highway 90, no issues reported. Highway 29 south is clear from the Atmore cutoff through Molino. Looks like Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free. Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on the roadways and you want to let us know about it, you can always call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake, and our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up near 71 degrees. Clouds increasing for the evening hours. Temperatures overnight dropping near 57. For Friday, a couple of rounds of heavy rain possible. 70% chance of rain, high near 68. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Isolated showers possible on Saturday, 10% chance. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And looking like a real nice morning. We've got 50 degrees, clear skies, and some absolutely gorgeous colors in the sky this morning. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bipartisan leaders have praised the passing of a bill aimed at protecting Americans' private data from foreign adversaries. The legislation prohibits data brokers from selling data to a foreign adversary. It also authorizes the Federal Trade Commission to seek civil penalties of more than $50,000 for each violation. The list of countries on the foreign adversary list includes China, North Korea, Russia, and more. New Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley has unveiled plans to change the way the agency handles overpayment issues. Some steps include the agency withholding 10% of a beneficiary's monthly benefits instead of the original 100 if they do not respond to a repayment notice. Plus, the maximum time for a repayment plan is being extended up to 60 months, up from 36. These changes will go into effect March 25th. Futures are moderately higher as the S&P 500 tops the 5,200 level for the first time. That's your money now.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Got a bug problem? Or worse, a rodent situation? Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's E-N-S-E-C.net.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
So I don't know whether Men Without Hats is the ringtone for Eric Gilmore, the public safety director for Escambia County, or anybody who works in public safety. But if it were, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be kind of impressed. Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety for Escambia County. He joins us now. Wes is off for a couple of weeks doing some other things. He's got some appointments he had to take care of. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing this morning? It is not my ringtone, but I do like it. Thank you, sir.
Well, maybe in the future. God, we have a lot of stuff to get to with you. Let's can we start with this? First, kind of a cool note. We've got new ambulances in hand. We got more ambulances coming, and the county is going to either authorize an additional, like we got 8 in hand, 4 more coming, and either did authorize or is considering authorizing another 8. Are my numbers right?
So your numbers are a little skewed, a little off, but okay. Here they are. So we did receive 8 ambulances a couple of weeks ago, so they're in the county. We're getting those upfitted now. The last board meeting, the commissioners approved to buy 6 more ambulances.
Okay.
And, yes, sir, 6 more. And then we're actually working to refurb or rechassis 3 of the internationals that we have right now that have good boxes. So we're looking at a total of 17 ambulances throughout the next year and a half.
Kind to say my numbers were skewed. They were completely wrong. That's fine. I'll take it.
Okay. I'm being nice.
No, that's good. I appreciate that. But the ones we have in hand look amazing because they are made out of F-18 refurbished metal. And they're no, but they are painted on the outside to represent the Blue Angels, right?
That is correct. They are Blue Angels themed. They are not the Blue Angels. They are Blue Angels themed, and it doesn't make them go any faster, but they do look nice. And they look pretty cool. So yeah.
Oh, man. No smoke on, no Buno, no nothing. They don't have any
canopy.
No. Okay. Well, but still they look cool.
No.
But yes, it is my understanding that we have had some issues with them, and they're Horton, right? That Horton is the manufacturer?
Yeah, they're Horton. So when they came in, there was a little couple of quality control things that the shop let them go with. So they're having to fix those things while they're here. No big deal. We always, even with fire trucks and everything, we do a punch list when we go to the manufacturer. And if they didn't complete it, then, we don't want to receipt. We don't want to just take them because now we own them at that moment. But so they're finishing the little punch list. And then what we got to do is upfit them. So with stuff we got to put in, radios, we got to put the cradle points in. We got to put the MTDs in. We've got to get the brackets mounted for the life pack. So there's some stuff that we still have to do to get those things in service. It's not once they hit the ground, they're turnkey and ready to go. There's a lot that we have to upfit to make sure they're ready for our operation.
Okay, so in my mind, there are 3 components to an end result ambulance on the road. One would be the physical functionality of the truck as a truck. 2 would be the the EMS elements of the truck that contribute to healthcare and life saving. And then 3 would be the county added things, like you say, communications equipment and stuff on the end. If I understand you correctly, 1 is fine, 3 is your responsibility. It's the stuff with 2 that maybe wasn't quite done right that you're still working on with Horton.
Just two. They did send representatives down here, and they're fixing this thing right now, yes, sir.
Okay. But the trucks run great. That's not the issue. It's just that some of the stuff related to EMS. Okay,
that's
perfect.
Correct. That's correct.
Obviously, one of the big subjects we've been talking about for a year or so now, since Commissioner Bergosh really has made such a push to expand public beach access, whether it's the discovery that the leases actually allow people to walk out on the beach, or opening one of the beach accesses last year, or whatever. But we had a drowning, actually, too, last year. There's really high profile, and that's not the first or only one we've ever had. Staffing that beach with guards, you're going to put up 1 tower, which the county bought with local option sales tax money, and then you're going to put roaming trucks with guards in them, which is common. That's what you do. How many staff do you need to make this happen? And is there any equipment that you don't yet have to make this happen?
Good question. So right now, what it looks like is three additional staff for Bernita Key. We already covered Johnson's Beach as we right now, so there's three out there at Johnson's Beach. So we'll put three more at beach access. For beach access, too, we'll put a lifeguard stand. And that's the only piece of equipment that we do not have right now is the lifeguard stand itself. It's en route, so it should be here mid-April, and we'll have it drop-shipped to beach access, too. Because the accesses are so limited, and we don't have the entire stretch of the beach like we do at Pensacola Beach where we can just go up and down the beach in a truck. We do have enough vehicles at Pensacola Beach to take a vehicle and put it on the key. So we'll put three people, two in the lifeguard stand at access two, and then we'll put one in a truck roving from one, three, and four. And what they're going to be doing is getting out, making contact with the people out on the beach. Right now we have nothing. So, you know, one, two, three, and four, there's no lifeguard presence. There's nobody talking to them. There's nobody telling them the warnings or telling them what dangers are out there. So, you know, even that one person in a truck going out on the accesses at one, three, and four and saying, hey, guys, just understand that the surf's a little rough today. Please be careful. Avoid these areas. We think we can prevent a lot by just talking and verbalizing to people and do a lot of preventative stuff.
Very good. And that, I know you had gone out there with AJ yesterday, Alex Johnson, deputy lifeguard, is under Dave Greenwood at the beach. You'd gone out there yesterday to look, and you basically, that had been your plan going in, and that is still your plan now that you've looked at it?
It is. We might modify or tweak a couple of things with the warning systems or anything, but that's where we have kind of settled out right now, that, you know, a lifeguard stand with two lifeguards at two, a roving patrol in the vehicle. There's some logistical things we're going to have to work out. You know, these are a lot of them are under 18 years old, so you know, working out lunches and rotating people out. So we have to work. He's working through a schedule on that.
Okay.
But as far as the rest of the equipment, we do have the rest of the equipment. That's no problem. You know, and I want everybody to understand that while we say this is going to be the plan right now, if we find something that works better or we need to tweak it, it's subject to change. It's not hard set in stone. So we're gonna work it, see how it goes, and if we need to modify it, we'll modify it. But that's what we're generally thinking right now.
I have follow-ups, but hang on for just a second. We're talking to Eric Gilmore, the public safety director in Escambia County. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
This traffic report brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Not seeing any problems on our roadways right now. I-10 and I-110 are clear. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is accident-free. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is good. And Highway 29 south through Cantonment is clear. If you see anything out there, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Meal planning is work, so let Fresh from Florida help. Learn what's in season and browse hundreds of recipes at FreshFromFlorida.com. Eat healthier with Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Eric Gilmore, public safety director in Escambia County. Eric, one of the questions that I have been raising about the staffing of lifeguards out on Perdido Key is we don't have a massive surplus in lifeguards. In fact, my perception is that we're always sort of just barely have enough, or maybe we're a little bit short. You know, I know Dave Greenwood does a great job trying to recruit and train and all that, but we just don't have a big surplus of lifeguards. So where are the three going to come from? How much of a challenge is it going to be? And are we going to have to pull guards off of Pensacola Beach to make this happen?
Well, that's a potential, and that's something AJ's going to be working with me on, and that's what he's going to be. That's some of the staffing stuff and some of the logistical stuff that AJ's going to be looking at. How many do we have? How many is going to come back starting in May? We're looking at staffing Perdita Key at the same time we do the full staffing of Pensacola Beach. So we're not doing anything early right now. We're looking at May 23rd through August the 11th is what we're looking at. So hopefully we'll look at staffing levels, see that we do have enough, at least three people that we can put out there at Perdita Key. But that's something as we get closer, we'll identify that we have the people or don't, and then we'll determine what's the priorities and how we're going to do these things. This is what AJ and I had a discussion about yesterday. So, but we'll have these discussions.
Okay. So I don't want to put words in your mouth. I want to ask you, depending on how many kids show up, how many we can get trained, certified and all of that for the full season, when we're at maximum staffing, we, at this point, it's possible or likely, I don't know which, that the number of guards available to work on Pensacola Beach will have to be diminished somewhat in order to provide guards at Perdido Key. Is that, you tell me.
It is a potential, but we don't know just yet. We think that we have the numbers to be able to pull it off at both locations, honestly. Okay. So, you know, every year we do Gulf Islands National Seashore as well. And, you know, last year we didn't get to do Langdon Beach or Opal Beach as much as we wanted to when we had upstaffing. So those are some of the areas we have to look at as well. But it is possibly, and we have 56 people, I think was Dave said, come try it out and pass the test that we're onboarding. So we'll look at that manpower and see if, you know, potentially it might not affect Pensacola Beach at all, but potentially it might. We don't know just yet. So.
Okay. Just a logistics question, because as you got to talking about it, made me realize something. One of the advantages of having continuous beach and public access out on Pensacola Beach is that the trucks can go directly to the area and they can go right back and forth up and down the beach. Obviously, as you said, at Perdido Key, they cannot. Although, my understanding, again, with some of the leases, I don't know, can you drive a truck across those areas where the public can access? And if there is a call out, you know, you need to respond to something at 4 and your truck is at 1, do you have to go back out onto Perdido Key Drive and then back out again, or can you just go right down the beach and get to them?
We will go back out on Perdido Key Drive and go down the beach to get to them. Unfortunately, it's not like Pensacola Beach where we just have continuous property and get straight to them. We have to go back out on the road. And that's, even as they're making their rounds, they're going to have to go back out on Perdido Key Drive and go to each access and then kind of walk out there. So because we're still dealing with the lease issue and all that and not understanding what. 75 foot to the water, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
So we don't want people driving within that range. So.
Okay, yeah, and that's what I was concerned about. And that's, so, it, I mean, it's very inconvenient as an area to patrol compared to, for example, Pensacola Beach. So I appreciate that. Man, I told you, you know, we have like 10 things to get to, and we've gotten to 2 of them. so you,
right.
your folks, Scambi Fire Rescue, responded to a fire at the materials recycling facility this week. Is that right? How big was it? How bad was it?
That is correct. I think it was. I think it affected some machinery or some equipment in there. I'm not 100% sure. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even report yesterday. I got so busy. But I do know the MRF was caught fire. What was it? Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
When they arrived on scene, heavy black smoke showing. My understanding is I think it was a lithium ion battery. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. But I think, I don't know that they put it out of service or what the extent of the damage was. I'll be honest with you.
Okay. Fair enough. I also just wanted to follow up with you. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of controversy within EMS, the union being very frustrated with Chief Torsell. We've talked with Wes about that. There was a follow-up meeting after that with the union leaders. Where are we at in terms of action plan following all of that? Anything you can tell us? I know a lot of that stuff is going to be handled internally, not necessarily for public consumption, but where do you think we're at?
No, absolutely. Right now, Wes and Debbie finished a meeting up with staff yesterday, individuals who wanted to, you know, reserve a slot to talk to Wes and Debbie. And they went Monday and Wednesday, spoke with staff. They're compiling their notes. We're going to sit down and look at everything that was brought forward. What we need to do to, you know, how do we invoke change? Where's the missing connection here, and how do we link that up? But they've talked to staff. They've talked to the executive board of the union. Wes and Debbie's talked to me, and we've sat down and we're going to formalize a plan now that we have all the notes and talk to everybody who wants to come forward. And we'll formalize a plan and go forward from there. That's where we're at right now. So everybody, the tour of talking to everybody and getting everybody's perspective is kind of over with. So now we're just going to, you know, formalize a plan.
And now just like a super detailed question, but I assume the answer is yes. And you've talked to all 4 shifts. It's not just 1 shift. It's all 4 shifts that had an opportunity to give their feedback.
It was all 4 shifts. That is correct. And everybody had an opportunity to give feedback. We made sure it was either on their day off or if they were working off immediately. So everybody had an opportunity. Absolutely all 4 shifts had an opportunity to make their voice heard. Yes.
Very good. Eric Gilmore, I left at least half of my questions for you on the table, but we'll ask you another time because we do talk occasionally. He is the director of public safety for Escambia County, and he assures me that the new ambulances are no faster than the traditional ambulances, which is disappointing to those of us who are Blue Angels fans. But okay, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe and keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you.
6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, one of, honestly, our family's favorite restaurants. Like, it's in Crestview, which is, you know, somewhat frustrating. But it's, you know, whenever we go near Crestview, like when we're coming back from anywhere else east on I-10 or even north through Alabama, whatever, we always stop at Pounder's Hawaiian Grill. And it's just, oh, my God, it's so good. And, like, you know, we'll buy extra and just eat it for leftovers because it's so good. Teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak. I love the teriyaki. My boys love the teriyaki steak, too. Kahlua pig. They got garlic chicken, the rice, the macaroni salad. It's just all, it's amazing good food and very reasonably priced. So here's the thing. Every time I go there, I always tell them, hey, love you guys. When are you coming to Pensacola? Hey, love you guys. When are you coming? Every single time. Well, now they came to Pensacola. They just opened on March 9th, so they are in the like the parking lot kind of area in front of the University Mall on the Davis Highway side. And so right in the old Dickies, right across from Academy Sports, can't miss them. Stop by. You will not be disappointed, man. The food is fantastic. Pounder's Hawaiian Grill. Jake has got traffic on the fives.
All right. Not seeing any problems on our roadways to report to you. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, not seeing any issues there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace this morning on Highway 90, nothing slowing you down there. Highway 29 South through Cantonment is clear from the Molino cutoff. Also not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Lillian Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident free. Longleaf Drive, Pine Forest Road, North Blue Angel, we're looking good there. If you see anything on the roadways slowing you down and you want to report it to us, you can call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Autotrader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Autotrader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and Autotrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Northwest Florida ranks high in opioid-related deaths, and drug overdose among youth ages 10 to 19 is increasing. One dose of fentanyl, the size of a grain of salt, can be lethal. Help is available. Just like you keep a first aid kit in your car or medicine cabinet, have Narcan on hand in case of an overdose. Understanding opioids and how they work is important to keeping your family safe. For help or support, contact Lakeview Center Opus Program. And for more on what you can do to prevent opioid overdose,
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, I bet my life on it.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Reddit went public yesterday. The online forum site's offering brought in about $519 million. That would value the company at almost $6.5 billion. They'll be under the stock ticker RDDT this morning. The search continues for missing University of Missouri student Riley Strain, who vanished after leaving a bar in downtown Nashville this month. Yesterday, the Cajun Navy even joined in on the search. Crews there focusing their search on the Cheatham Dam, 40 miles south of Nashville. And SpaceX's Starship rocket could be flying again by early May. The rocket had its third test flight last week. CEO Glenn Shotwell says they're still analyzing data, and they're hoping to get it back in flight in about 6 weeks.
Oh, very good. I got the best suggestion. Somebody said, you know what those Blue Angels-themed ambulances should be running instead of a siren when they're going to a call?
Yes!
And I asked Eric, I told him what, I called him in the break, and he's like, You know, we can program the sirens. Now, they're not going to do that on a call, but they could do it like when they're out at the beach or staffing for Blue Angels weekend or something.
Make
so.
It happen!
I know!
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.